Our New Testament reading is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is you, your life is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is In the Garden.
The scripture today, the gospel lesson, comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Hear the words of the Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I can imagine that for the rest of those women's lives on earth, that day, that moment, that time in all of their time probably stood out. And they probably remembered it because it was such a great experience of their life. And they would find out what a great experience it was as they lived on and realized that they were chosen by God to be the people to carry that news, to be some of the very few people that got to see Jesus in person after his crucifixion. It makes me think of great experiences in our lives. There's probably some great experiences that we have in common. Maybe it's the first time we actually fell in love. We always hope, our parents did, that we weren't 12 at that time, but it happens. And as a person who used to teach 12-year-olds, it happens quite a lot. Maybe it's the time you first got to hold a newborn baby. Maybe it was your own child. In my case, it was my niece's, definitely. But I got to hold a lot of newborn babies in the churches that I served. Maybe it was something spectacular, a peace that you probably will never live again. About a year and a half ago, as most of you probably know, I was so fortunate to travel to Turkey. And if you travel to Turkey, I highly recommend the 6 a.m. balloon ride over the area. We saw the sun rise at the horizon, and there were probably 50 balloons up in the air all at the same time. It was an incredible sight. It's something that will live with me forever. Just that image and the excitement. And sometimes because it was tinged with a little bit of fear, because, I mean, these are huge balloon baskets that held, like 40 people. So they probably were going to be okay. It's something that they did three times a day, so we probably were going to be okay. But sometimes the excitement and the great joy comes because there's a little tiny bit of fear. That's what's happening here. Because if you can just imagine, they knew that Jesus had died. And yes, he told them, don't worry, I will come again. But that could mean a multitude of things. And maybe it wasn't exactly what we thought he meant when he said it. And so we get it. We get that oftentimes with great joy, there's also so much excitement or fear or intrepidation within us that our emotions are all over the place, which makes the joy greater because of it. Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid." He looked at the women who were seeing somebody they thought had died and was standing right in front of them, and he says, "Do not be afraid." I love that. I love verse 4. "For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men." Okay, now for us women, we just want to laugh at that, don't we? Yes, thank you. Because you think they just kind of fell over. Well, I get it. Because you knew exactly what happened. You saw it happen. You might have even helped take him down. And now he's alive. But it does make me chuckle that it's the guards that fell over. But the women knew him personally. The guards probably didn't. We don't know that for sure, but they probably didn't. But the women had a relationship with Jesus. And so those words that he said, "Do not be afraid." Now, I want us to think a little bit about the times that we have heard that phrase. When in the history of "do not be afraid" have we not been afraid? Just the fact that somebody has to say to us, "Do not be afraid," means there's fear out there somewhere, right? It means that something has happened that might cause us to be afraid, and now they're telling me not to be afraid, truly. It doesn't always work to calm and soothe, except it helps us now. It helps us now as we read back, and we hear what happened, and we remember that Jesus said to the women who were so fearful, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid." That phrase is used several times in both the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew. In the Gospel of Luke, it happened at Jesus' birth, where the angel said, "Do not be afraid." In Matthew, it happened during the resurrection, just as we read. So, when you are afraid, what brings comfort to you? What is it that somebody can say or do that helps you know not to be afraid? When I was little, I would look to my parents. And if they weren't afraid, then even though I was probably still a little bit afraid, it gave me courage to be bold and to be brave. It doesn't always happen that way, though, does it? Even when the people we know and love are showing us great courage, sometimes it's very difficult for us to follow along. But these women heard Jesus say, "Fear not." They heard it from Jesus' mouth to their ears, "Fear not." To me, that's a completely different level of "do not be afraid." To me, that is someone they knew and trusted and had followed and had listened to his words as he preached and watched him and the way he would tenderly hold babies and children. And if that person that you trust and love says, "Fear not," then maybe that's helpful. Do you think the women knew that in that "fear not," it didn't mean that nothing else can go wrong? It didn't mean that everything is okay? But what it meant is, nothing will happen to you. Back up. It means that whatever happens to you, that God will strengthen you and God will uphold you. That's what "fear not" means. It doesn't mean that there won't be reasons to fear, but it means that anything that happens, God will give us the strength to get through it. God will give us the boldness because we know we're not facing it alone. We know that we're facing it. And for those of us who believe in the resurrection, who believe in the God that created us, we know that God always gets the last word. Not us, not the world, not even the people that we've known and trusted all of our lives. It's God who gets the last word. And that last word is a promise of the divine. It's a promise that the divine is with you here and now. In other words, he's not here. He's not in the tomb because he did exactly what he told you he was going to do. So our fears can be gone. And if our fears are gone, what's left for us? Well, great joy. Great joy for anything that caused us fear. Once it leaves us, we're filled with great joy. This scripture, while this was a solitary event, the words, though, are not about a solitary spiritual experience. Oh, that's part of it. And I'm not saying that that doesn't have power, but it's just a reminder that for the rest of our lives here on this earth, whenever we face those challenges, whenever we are in a situation where we might be fearful, we get to remember. It's the promise of Jesus. Jesus was on a mission when he was on this earth, and he is still on a mission, and he invites every single one of us to join in that mission. It's a mission that helps people understand love. It's a mission that is constantly reminding us that God is in charge. Even when it feels like the world is topsy-turvy, even when it feels like nothing is right anymore, Jesus is with us. So, what do? We get to listen. We listen for the voice of Jesus. It's the only one with any authority in the world, in the universe. It's the only one that can give us the assurance. It's hard sometimes to block out all of the other noise, but it helps if we remember that when we listen for Jesus to guide us, when we follow the directions that Jesus gives us, we have incredible assurance. We can fear not. We can live in a world of great joy, even though there are so many things that are sorrowful around us, so many things that happen that break our hearts. We know that this world is not the end, that God is in charge, and Jesus is with us. In fact, Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. On this Easter Sunday, and as we get ready for Easter Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and all the days that follow, may we hold those words in our hearts and in our souls. I am with you always. Always. Even to the end of the age. And we hear it with great joy. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.